Welcome to The Point. I'm Indy Todd. Today we continue our series of debates leading up to the general election. Today the candidates running for state representative in the 5th Barnstable District, that includes precincts 11 and 12 in Barnstable, precincts 1, 2, and 7 in Bourne, the town of Sandwich, and precinct 9 in Plymouth. The candidates are Democrat James Dever. Good morning, Jim.
Hello, Indy. Good morning.
And Republican Stephen Exeros. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Mindy and Jim.
Hey, Steve.
All right. And a reminder, our format is up to 2 minutes for answers to questions. We'll have 2 minutes for closing comments at the end of the hour. If you have a question you'd like to pose to the candidates, we ask you pose the same question to both candidates. You can call us at 866-999-4626, or you can send your question to thepoint@capeandislands.org. Jim Dever, we're going to start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and the skills you bring to the job of state representative.
Sure. Mindy, again, hello, and hello to everybody out there. You know, it's interesting. I do look at this as a job interview and the skill sets needed. Well, what I do is I'm a labor attorney, and I've been a labor attorney for the last 20 years, and I represent public workers throughout Massachusetts. So when somebody, let's say they work at the DMV or public health or DCR, you know, any state agency, when they get treated unfairly, I come in to represent them to make sure they get treated fairly. So I've been interacting with state agencies really my entire career, which I think without a doubt, that's a big part of this thing, constituent services. I really began constituent services back in 1995. My first job out of college, I worked for then Congressman Ed Markey, now Senator Markey. And I wasn't in D.C. where it's all flashy and making the laws. I was in the district helping the people. And I was in charge of immigration issues. So let's say you were trying to get a J-1 cultural exchange visa or an H-1B work visa or a foreign adoption, something like that. Those are the things that I helped with. So I think it's constituent services and it's the ability to negotiate. As a labor lawyer, it's different from other kinds of law. We see our opponent the next day at work, whereas other kind of laws, you go your separate ways. So you have to be able to rise above the rancor between management and employees and try to reach settlements so the rancor doesn't continue. And that's something, again, I've done my entire life, really, as a labor lawyer. It's why I've been endorsed by the Mass Teachers, the Mass Nurses Association. It's why we're endorsed by the International Brotherhood of Police Officers, by SEIU healthcare workers. These are just people that believe in a voice for working people. I've been that voice my really entire professional career, and hopefully I'll be able to do it again for the folks of Sandwich, Plymouth, Bourne, and Barnstable.
Hi, thank you. Stephen Exeros, same question.
Yeah, my story is an open book, basically. I was born and raised in New Bedford, so I came to Cape Cod after graduating high school. I lived in Sandwich for 2 years with my aunt and uncle, and the goal was to become a police officer. So I went to Cape Cod Community College for 2 years, got my degree in law enforcement, and at a very young age, I think 20 years old, I became a full-time Yarmouth police officer. I served for over 40 years. It was an honor of a lifetime to really work with heroes every day and night. I served in every position from patrol officer to detective to school resource officer to sergeant to deputy chief. Also, I'm a father. I have 4 children. Alex is a police officer as well in Yarmouth, carrying on the tradition. I have twin daughters, Elizabeth and Ashlyn. They are in the restaurant business in New Hampshire. And I lost a son, my firstborn child, Nicholas, as a United States Marine fighting for our country. Also, I just try my best to help people. So, you know, Jim talked about being a union member or union lawyer. I was a union member for over 30 years. And then I became management. So I've seen both sides. I've got so many endorsements, it's hard to list, but, you know, just about every state rep on Cape Cod and beyond, the National Federation of Independent Business Owners, you know, 7 police associations, several fire associations. But it's more than that. It's really, I see this job as service. So it's an extension of my 40 years of policing, being an independent proven leader, working with all kinds of people. Not everybody likes police officers, so it's good to be able to go into different situations and communicate. And I think this job, if elected, is about service and communicating with everybody.
Thank you. All right, Steve, we're going to start with you this time. Pandemic is creating challenges on a number of levels. We have school equity issues, loss of business and jobs, just to name a few. What are some of the ways you think we could address the challenges of this pandemic going forward?
Oh, my God. Absolutely. We need to try to get back to normal as fast as we can. You mentioned it. Think of all the businesses that have closed or worried about closing, especially the restaurants with winter coming. Some of them survived because they could be outside, but I've talked to a lot of restaurant owners. They're worried about the winter when people can't really be outside. There's also first responders, which obviously I was for 40 years. My son still is. My fiance is a nurse now, and we need to make sure they have all the equipment that they have to do the job, which now they do, thank God. Cape Cod Hospital, which is Falmouth and Hyannis, is in great shape. And getting our businesses back to the way they were. The business owners know what to do. They just need to be able to do it. And these are difficult times. We have to do it safely. We also have to get our kids back to school. Safely. It's a huge issue. You know, when the kids are home, the parents can't work. So there's a lot of issues. What I would do is listen, which I've been doing. I visit people every day in all walks of life. Some businesses are doing great because people are home and they're working on their homes or their yards, and some are really hurting. So my thing would be to listen to people, be a district representative, a full-time representative, not part-time. Be out in my district listening and working hard in Boston to be a strong voice for the people here in our district.
Thank you. Jim Dever, same question.
Yeah, fantastic question. And it's interesting. When I decided to get into this last year, I'm a six-year member of the Sandwich School Committee, and every year would have to cut our resources. I mean, yes, there might be an increase in budget, but the services would always be the same, would always be level services. So you go to town meeting to try to get more money, and you realize everybody's fighting amongst themselves for that, the pot of money the Commonwealth gives us. The problem is, for the last 20 years, Sandwich, Bourne, Barnstable, and Plymouth have been a voice in the minority up on Beacon Hill. I'm going to be a voice in the majority, one of the 130 Democrats up there, and it makes a tremendous difference when it comes to resources. So when it comes to COVID, it's getting our resources back to those folks in our district. With our schools, terribly important. I mean, right now we're seeing some schools have hybrid learning. Some schools have different systems. The idea is to find out what is the best way forward. And again, having been endorsed by the Mass teachers, having been on the Sandwich School Committee for 6 years, I think that's what we've got to focus on. We've got to make sure people have internet connection as well. When it comes to our businesses, no doubt our businesses need help. But we needed to have opened them the safe way, as Governor Baker was doing, to agree with the science. Just because there's loud noise to open us up, you have to be able as a leader to rise above that and really think, geez, we got to represent everybody in the district, not just one special interest or that special interest. So with our small businesses, we've got to make sure that they're being taken care of. We've got to make sure they're getting rent assistance, and most importantly, their insurance as well. We've got to make sure that their insurance policies are being honored, because COVID has ravaged these small businesses, and we need to make sure they can get back on their feet. It's what makes our towns go.
All right, thank you. Stephen, this time we start with you, Jim Dever. Housing market has been booming, making affordable housing and rentals harder to find. We think a third of our housing units on the Cape are seasonal houses. This is, of course, a perennial issue we've been talking about for many years, but what are your thoughts on addressing the issue of affordable housing?
Well, that's the thing. When it comes to affordable housing, you need to give people a reason to be here on Cape Cod and to lay their roots down. And one thing you need to do is you need to have housing for those people. I think it was a good start in the last session, or I guess this current session is still going on, Rep. Fernandez's housing bill. I like kind of some of the thoughts behind that. The idea that when a house is transferred, that there's a fee on top of the title. And this is for houses over $1 million. And then those monies can go into kind of a housing bank so you can do affordable housing. It's kind of similar to what Plymouth did with their meals tax, and they had it directed towards a special fund to rebuild their town hall, and that's exactly what they did. Well, if we do a housing fund, I think it certainly needs to be along those same lines. We have ample opportunity to do it because there are transitioning from, you see transitions from vacant hotels and schools, and we're trying to turn those into housings, and I think that's important. But to have housing, you got to have a reason for folks to be here, and you have to give them jobs. And that's why I think it's so important to invest in what I think is right there for us, a blue economy. These are jobs that deal with the environment. These are jobs that deal with wind, energy. These are jobs in which we already have such a vast resources of technologies and brain power here on Cape Cod. Let's move that and encourage folks to put their roots down here. And if you do have affordable housing, if you do make it easier for people to live here, then people will stay here and raise their families here. And slowly but surely, we'll see that trend change over. I mean, we're already seeing it with teleworking, how more people want to come down to Cape Cod. So there's an opportunity here to be had, and I hope we take advantage of it to get housing for those that need it.
All right. Stephen Exero, same question.
Huge issue, and I've seen it firsthand. When you're a police officer, which I was, it's pretty powerful to be in homeless camps where these people are struggling, usually from some type of illness and addiction, and they're out in the woods, cold, and some of them have families, and as police officers, public servants, we're trying to help them. So when you see stuff like that, it has a big impact on you. And what we should do on the Cape, and you have a great point, I mean, if you listed a house today, it would probably be sold by Saturday. We probably should keep going towards the direction that Yarmouth did and Sandwich has done, where you take old buildings, such as schools that are no longer being in use, and you turn them into housing. And you have a public-private type of partnership, and you provide housing for people in need, not only affordable housing for people that are living here, they may be retired, but also remember we have a huge workforce that are traveling back and forth. So the more housing, the better. We have Chapter 40B. There's ways to make that better. But I think we should push towards the successful model that I helped work on in Yarmouth and in Sandwich. They're doing it now where you take schools and turn them into beautiful housing. You can also do that like we did with motels, these aged motels that are in just about every town. They're not good to live in. They're only there for transients. But if you can turn them into apartments legally and safely, they're a beautiful place to live, and it solves some of our problems moving forward. The Cape is a beautiful place. That's why we're here. That's why a lot of people want to be here. We have to keep it safe. We have to keep it clean. And you need a state representative that's strong, that's experienced in real-life issues.
All right.
And that's
Thank
me.
You. That's okay. Thank you. You are listening to The Point, and we are talking with the candidates running for state representative in the 5th Barnstable District. They are Democrat James Stever and Republican Stephen Exeros. Our phone number, if you'd like to pose a question to the candidates, is 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Stephen Exeros, your turn to go first. What are your thoughts on the police reform bill ongoing at the State House now, and do you think reform is needed?
Great question. You know, as I said earlier, I got to work with heroes every day. My son is a police officer. We have many friends and family. So my thoughts are very serious. I take it as a great way to communicate and to help others understand what it's like to be a police officer and put in very difficult situations, you know, day or night, and have to make split-second decisions. So the horrible incident that happened in Minnesota triggered the Massachusetts state reps and senators to create a reform bill. And it really was too much in the beginning. Now it's being worked on by a committee, and I think it'll work out well. We need to increase our training for our police officers. We need to make sure our police officers have all the equipment we need. We certainly do not need to defund the police or use any other words to take away from the police. They're good people. They try their best. when they make a mistake, they need to be held accountable. And I think the police reform bill, some of the big aspects that are good, police officers in Massachusetts should be certified, and they should be held accountable. But also at the same time, they need the proper training, they need the proper equipment, and not in just the police academy when they're new. They need it every year so they can be sharp when they're making decisions, whether it's to use force or not, or they're trying to save the life of someone that's overdosed, which, you know, I've done myself and I've seen it. So police officers are an important part of our community. All first responders are. I support them 100%. And I think the police reform bill is a great way to get started to address the issues that leaders like myself have been talking about for 30 years.
Yeah, thank you. Jim Dever, same question.
It's interesting. As somebody who is a member of a police union, the International Brotherhood of Police Officers, and I've been an attorney for them, for close to 20 years, and we represent various police departments throughout the country, including our very own Sandwich Police Department, Dennis, and UMass Dartmouth as well. So it's been nice to actually have a voice in the conversation, because we have people that are, you know, dealing with the decision makers up on Beacon Hill, and they'll bring back some ideas to myself and our other attorneys and to see what we think about it. And I think we all agree that, yes, there needs to be improved training, certification. I think when it comes to the issue of qualified immunity, there's a lot more to it than just a simple, you know, soundbite during a debate. But that is an issue that, you know, certainly need to look into. And I think, you know, more so than that, I think you have to be able to be respected and understood by both sides of this issue. For instance, this past Sunday, I was at a great event we had in Sandwich, which was a back the blue event. And Sean Gannon was the officer, a Yarmouth officer who was killed in the line of duty. She spoke, and just very poignant words about, you know, what it means to be a police officer and what it takes. And then 3 weeks before that, I was at an event for Black Lives Matters. It's something in Sandwich we do on Sunday nights. You might pray or kneel or what have you. And I went down to that event and said a prayer for better relations. And what happens? My opponent in the Republican Party uses that picture as an attack ad and say, Jim's a radical. He can't represent police and be part of the Black Lives Matters movement. I reject that totally. I think it's imperative of a state representative to be accepted by both groups and be able to get these groups to come together. Just like I was talking about the labor law, you got to rise above the rancor and be able to bring groups together. I love the fact that I'm endorsed by police, and I also love the fact that I'm respected within the Black Lives Matters community. This is the issue of the day, and I couldn't feel more prepared to help solve it.
Stephen, would you like a minute rebuttal for that?
I would. First of all, Jim Dever is not endorsed by the Sandwich Police Local Union. He's endorsed by the International Brotherhood of Police Officers. They represent only a few departments here on Cape Cod. I have over 7 police unions endorsing me. So it's really not about how many endorsements. It's about integrity. I've lived the life of a police officer. I'm not an attorney representing them. I was one, and my son still is. So when it comes to these issues, I'm the one with integrity. I'm the one that had Mrs. Gannon come on Sunday. I just couldn't make it myself because of the situation. But that's the reason why I chose to run. It was the murder of Mrs. Gannon's son and the shooting of our dog, Nero. And over 2 years later, we have no trial, no justice. And the Nero bill that was filed to help police dogs and animals that are injured in the line of duty was filed 2 years ago, and it still hasn't passed. So someone like me needs to be in the state house to help get these things resolved.
Thank you. All right, so now we're going to start with you, Jim Devers, for this next question. We've had 7 of the 15 towns on the Cape have declared a climate emergency at town meetings. What do you believe is the best way to mitigate climate change?
Oh, fantastic issue. When it the issues of the day, at least for Cape Cod and maybe for our country, but we'll keep it localized here, is COVID and the environment. It is exactly why I've been endorsed by the Sierra Club, and I've been working with the Sierra Club. It's interesting. Earlier I said I was endorsed by teachers and nurses and Stop and Shop workers. I like to say I'm endorsed by the frontline people of COVID and now the frontline people of the environment. And that's why it's so important that we take climate change seriously here on Cape Cod. Some towns we've started to ban plastic bottles, which is a good start. There's also the idea of land erosion, which we have to prevent. We have to do something about our bays, how the temperatures of the bays are getting warmer and warmer. It goes back to what I was talking before about how this can be a blue economy here on Cape Cod. We have these issues, but we also have the abilities to address it. And it's great when you see people from other sides come together. Like one environmental thing that I've really been impressed with is the idea to make Nantucket Sound a national park, you know, a water national park. And there you have the folks that were on other sides of the table when it came to Cape Wind and whatnot, and now they're all at the same table because they all realize how important it is to take care of our environment. It's the reason why I get into this. As I said earlier, when I started in 1994 with Congressman Markey, the author of the Green Deal, environment was my issues. And it's just so interesting that here Ed and I are 25 years later still trying to fight for our environment. And I'll keep doing it because I want to be able to pass on something to my 10-year-old twin, Seamus and Brianna, that they can pass on to their kids. It's the number one issue with COVID, and it's why I'm best prepared to help our district face it.
Stephen Exero, same question.
Great question. People come to Cape Cod because it's beautiful. Those of us that live here, we're lucky. And as you mentioned earlier, people are trying to buy every piece of property they can right now. The Cape is a beautiful place to live, to work, to visit, and raise a family. And we have to keep it that way. So safety is paramount, but keeping it clean. So your question is a good one. What does the future look like? It's real. You know, climate change is real. We have to do everything we can to address it. Some of the ways, like I met with the Sandwich Town administrator last week, and one of their big issues in Sandwich is erosion. So we have to make sure that, you know, we're addressing the erosion issues. We have to make sure, as when I spoke with the town administrator of Barnstable, you know, our water quality, huge. We have to have good, clean drinking water. So we have to be careful what we put on our golf courses and other places that ends up in the drinking water. And then we have to have a wastewater system that's done properly. So keeping Cape Cod safe, keeping it clean is huge. I was on the front lines as a police officer. I'll be on the front lines as hopefully the next state representative, listening to people, learning, keeping our water clean, creating a wastewater system for the future, and working with local town officials to stand up for what we need in our district of Barnstable, Plymouth, Sandwich, and Bourne.
Thank you. And Stephen, as we start with you this time, what do you see as the most critical infrastructure needs in the district?
I think a good one is the wastewater system. You know, we've been dealing with it for a long time. Some towns have addressed it with their own wastewater system, such as Chatham, but it's millions of dollars. So a lot of towns are looking at it. It's a huge issue. Sometimes it gets kicked down the road. You know, maybe we need to do something countywide, but our wastewater issues are big, and as well as other things, our roadways, our bridges, huge issue. You know, we've made the agreement to build two brand new bridges. That's $1 billion of federal money, and that affects us every day on the Cape. Those bridges have tourism, obviously, safety, and just the way we get back and forth off this beautiful island or peninsula. It's a huge issue if you live in Bourne and Sandwich especially. If you live in Bourne, your town is cut in half. So when I speak to the people there, they go over the Bourne Bridge 10 or 20 times a day. So where the bridges are placed, what it does to all those neighborhoods and all the roads that feed in, huge issue. It's going to happen. We need the new bridges, and I'll be there to be speaking up for everybody in our district to make sure it's done right. So I would say wastewater, our bridges, and anything else that helps us travel and keep us safe.
Thank you. Jim Dever, same question.
Yes, Mindy, thank you. You know, when it comes to infrastructure, obviously the one that jumps off the page is, in fact, the two bridges, the replacement of the Sagamore-born bridges. And I think when it comes to that, you're going to need a state representative that has an excellent relationship with our federal officials so we can keep them on top of it. As I've stated before, I've known Senator Markey for close to 30 years, and Bill Keating as well is a good friend. And you really need to reach out to the federal people and make sure they stay on top of it as well, because there's going to be a host of issues. There's going to be issues in regards to what roads will be taken. Is there going to be eminent domain, things along those ways? So for infrastructure, not only we need to make sure our bridges work, but you know what? The two important parts of infrastructure that often get overlooked. One is the information superhighway. We need broadband as strong as it can be on Cape Cod. I mean, when I find myself on Route 6A in Sandwich sometimes and I can't get cell reception and my Wi-Fi doesn't work that well, we can't have that happen. We've got to increase our broadband capabilities on Cape Cod, because we've seen that families are now starting to move down here with COVID and whatnot, and we're seeing an economy that now can handle the idea of people working from home and telecommunicating. So we need broadband to help those people to work from home. But you know what you also need, and people often overlook it? Early childhood education. How is that infrastructure? It's a key part of infrastructure because it's what gets the mom and dad out of the house, into the job force, over the bridge, into Boston, or where they have to go. When it comes to racial and gender inequality, this is something that's so often overlooked. Early childhood education, not daycare, education, so we can help our working parents to be able to work. I mean, right now, folks are struggling. You know, we're on the computer, our kids might be at home, maybe they're at school, there's some sort of a hybrid system. But if we had early childhood education in place, it would make such a tremendous difference for those that live here on Cape Cod and those that are going to use our transportation so they can contribute to the economy.
Thank you.
I think when it comes
Okay, that's 2 minutes, Jim. I got to cut you off there. But Jim, you start this next question. This is an email question from a listener. Do you support making masks mandatory in public places? And Jim, we start with you.
Oh, of course. I mean, if that's what the governor says and that's what the science says, without a doubt, we have to do it. I mean, I think that's where it has been a key difference between myself and my opponent. My opponent early on, as I said, he was kind of to throw the stores open, open the stores, when our nurses and our doctors, our heroes, that we're saying, you know, slow it down, wear the mask. So I think when it comes to something like that, yeah, you have to follow the rules. I mean, it's really not so much about you, it's about the other people you're trying to protect. And right now, we're in a pandemic, and we've seen what happens. I mean, when the President of the United States gets COVID, and he's supposed to be the most protected person there is, I think that raises the alarms for everyone that, geez, you know, that this is a serious thing. And I don't agree with our president saying that, hey, the COVID isn't a big thing. I think it is a big thing. And I think we do need to take it seriously. And if you're wearing masks and follow the health standards, is without a doubt the most serious thing that we can do. So, yes, I would support something along those lines.
Right. Stephen Exero, same question.
Absolutely. I support wearing masks. I support social distancing. I support hand washing, all of those things that our government officials have been asking us to do and telling us to do. And not only because that's the right thing, but it's all about that safety issue and about public health. And my fiance, Denise, being a nurse, lives it every day. And Jim talks about having the nurse association as a supporter. That's great. But Denise is a nurse on the front lines, and they need our help. So our doctors, our nurses, our first responders all need the equipment they deserve. They should have had day one. They do have it now. Part of the reason was I went out and found it and got donations to give them. Thanks to all the good people on Cape Cod. I have luckily a way to work with people to get things done. And as far as wearing the mask and everything else, this is a global pandemic. It's right here on Cape Cod. And when I've asked the governor to open our businesses early to try to keep them going during the summer, it was always done to do it safely. We need to be safe. We need to live through this. And then eventually get back to normal. boost our economy, get kids back to school, and keep Cape Cod beautiful.
Thank you. All right, Stephen Exeros, we start with you. Would you support commuter rail service to the Cape?
Yeah. I wish they would do it, you know, but there's a lot of cost to it. And I know I've spoken to people in Bourne. They have kind of an agreement that it could go, you know, into Bourne to a certain extent. It does go to, you know, the railroad area at the canal. But what happens, from what I understand, a lot of people don't use it. So there's a big cost to it. A lot of people, I think, would rather drive or take a bus. But if there's a way to bring it to the Cape and extend it and do it where people will actually use it, yes, you know, transportation is a big issue. We talked about the bridges. So bringing the rail to the Cape and expanding it as much as we can, I do support. We just got to get people to use it and use alternative transportation, such as bicycle riding. You know, people love to ride bicycles. So using, you know, the old rail trails that we have now as bike trails is another example of maybe, as we spoke about earlier, infrastructure and getting people to travel safely, also cleanly, and also good for their own health. I support all of those things.
Thank you. Jim Dever?
Yeah, 100%. I've had some wonderful conversations with Tom Cahir, and Tom is the former rep over there in Bourne and has the Cape Cod Regional Transit Authority. It is so wonderful what that Regional Transit Authority has done with the trains, how they have brought the trains back to this area. You know, obviously, with COVID and whatnot, the ridership was down this year. But just being there earlier this summer, my wife and my two kids, we like to hang out there right at the Bourne Bridge where the train comes in. And we're there one night, and we see Tom Cahir and George Slade and some other folks from Bourne. And we said, well, what's going on here? And they had mentioned that it's the first train of the season. And it was exciting. It was interesting just to see people down there to see that train come through. So I think without a doubt, we need to embrace rail line. And I think it's a tremendous idea that Bourne has decided to join the MBTA. I know it hasn't been, you know, so popular at times, and some folks, you know, are struggling with that idea, but it's too important to turn down. I kind of disagree that most folks would rather take their car and drive into Boston. I think if you give them a nice train service, look what happens over in Europe. I mean, trains are what connects those different countries together. And here in Massachusetts, we have such an awesome, awesome chance to do that here. We have the real tracks already down. There used to be, in their heyday, those rail tracks in Bourne, they were humming. And I think we can bring that back. And the way to do that is to encourage infrastructure. Get people out of the cars. We don't need cars. We need people to take public transportation so everybody has a chance to enjoy this environment. So important. I can't wait to be part of the Barnstable Fifth to really improve our rail system. It's one of the biggest inventions our country ever had was the rail line. So I think I am bullish on that, and I will do everything I can to make sure we expand that program and we can help not only the environment, but help the area of Bourne.
Thank you. You're listening to The Point. We're talking with the candidates running for state representative in the 5th Barnstable District, Democrat James Dever and Republican Stephen Exeros. And Jim, it's your turn to answer first. And we have a listener who wants to know, do you support tolls on the bridges to bring in revenue to pay for new bridges?
No, I do not support tolls on the bridges. It's interesting. I think the people of Bourne, Plymouth to an extent, and certainly Sandwich, I think we already pay a pretty high price just being the gateway to Cape Cod and, you know, and having people travel our roads and having people kind of come through our community. So, no, I'm not somebody that is going to be supporting tolls. I think there's other ways to do this. I think the feds need to pay for these bridges to make sure that they're there and they're solid. I think when it comes to tolls, that's just not something that I certainly agree with. There are other ways to get it done, and there's more important ways to get it done. And having a system of tolls for folks that I already said have paid a big price as is, I just don't think that's the way to go. So I would not support tolls on those new bridges. And I would make sure my good friend Ed Markey of 30 years and my good friend Bill Keating of, what do we know Bill now, probably 20 years, can stand with us on that and make sure we do not put tolls on those bridges.
Thank you. Stephen Exaro, same question.
Absolutely not. No new tolls and no new taxes. Those bridges are paid for by the federal government, the new ones, and we need to make sure they're done right, they're done beautifully, which they will be. It'll be a total different design, much wider, much safer, beautiful. And let the federal government pay for it. That's the deal that's already been made by Representative Hunt and many others that have been working on this. And no tolls and no new taxes. Those bridges are important not only for safety, but for tourism as well, as we talked about earlier. So to have tolls on those bridges could actually hurt tourism. So do not support the tolls on a bridge. No new taxes. Let the plan go forward where the federal government will spend over $1 billion and give us two beautiful, brand new, and safe bridges.
All right. Stephen Exaro, as we start with you this time, during the coronavirus pandemic, the opioid epidemic continues. We are making progress, but certainly the pandemic has created some challenges. So your thoughts on how we continue to address the opioid epidemic?
Oh, my God. I'm so glad you asked that, because I was just speaking to one of my friends. She's a mother who lost her son due to substance use disorder. So we share that same pain when you lose a child. And she said that she was disappointed in a way that a lot of people have almost forgot about that. But I haven't. So when hopefully we become the next state representative, it'll be a huge issue. I've seen people die. I've seen people live because of being saved by first responders. And I've seen the pain in a parent's eyes when they've tried everything they can to get their son or daughter off this horrible drug and addiction, and they die. And I've been to the funerals. So it has a huge impact on me as a human. We have to keep it at the forefront. That's why safety is so important. And that's why people like drug dealers, like the one that murdered Sean Gannon, they need to be held fully accountable right away before they have 125 charges and lead to murdering a police officer. Drug dealers and career criminals need to be locked up, and they need to fear the criminal justice system, and we need to keep the opioid crisis right on the front lines to help save people's lives.
Thank you. Jim Dever, same question.
So important. I mean, it really is. The opiate crisis, as Steve was pointing out, some people, you know, tend to forget it with everything else on the headlines. But if anything, it's brought it to the headlines. Those folks with either opiate addiction or some sort of substance abuse, this is such a scary time, because having support of others and physically being with each other in support groups is such a powerful and important part of the process. So we need to make sure that we have mental health available to these folks. I think that is one of the biggest issues going forward, that we've got to get these people the resources that they deserve. They have to, without a doubt, have mental health. And we need to, I think something we need to do is remember that a lot of these opiate addictions right now and deaths are coming from the folks in the 30 to 40-year-old age group. And those are the folks that really, when these were prescribed when they were in high school, started to become addicted to it. So we need to look at the source of it as well. How are we taking care of our youngsters? How are we taking care of people when it comes to injuries and health? Are opioids the best way, or is there a different way to go? I would say, you know, you need to look at all aspects of trying to get people to feel better beyond just the usual routines. So when it comes to opiates, it's something that, as I said, being somebody who's on the front lines talking to these police every day, we see it. Being a school committee member, in which we approve Narcan in our schools. I mean, these are serious issues. These are issues that need to be addressed, and they're issues that I look forward to continuing to work on for the folks of Sandwich, Bourne, Barnstable, and Plymouth.
Right, thank you. Jim, we start with you this time, and this is a question from Peter. He said, you both agree that Cape Cod is a beautiful place. Some towns have prevented the sale of nips. Do each of you really believe that a 5-cent deposit is enough to change behavior to prevent people throwing the bottles out of the car and littering the countryside? Do you feel a 25-cent deposit would be a better way to change behavior? And Jim Dever, we start with you.
Well, this is something that Randy Hunt had his fingerprints on early on, and it's something that I do agree with. The towns. Towns are doing it themselves one by one, as opposed to kind of the state doing any sort of ban. But no, I think the ban on plastic nips, I think that's important. It goes to really goes to what we're talking about in a way. It goes to the environment. It goes to giving people a community where they can proud and where a community can be clean from this sort of trash and whatnot. I think 5 cents is a terrific start. I would have to study it and see what the reasoning why it was set at that. And I can't imagine something going up, you know, to a 25-cent rate at this point. But the idea of single nips, and not only that, I'm in favor of the plastic bottle ban as well. This is something that really students have get behind in our school systems. Last spring, or I should say last fall, there was a climate strike which kids put on in Sandwich. And I was part of that. I was a speaker. And you heard about the importance of banning these plastic bottles. So I think when it comes to banning the nips and banning plastic bottles, terribly important for our environment. As we've alluded to, the environment behind COVID is going to be one of the biggest threats we face. So if we can make a small impact by getting those nips off the road and getting them off our sideways and highways, I would agree with that. So I support it in its current form. I do.
Thank you. Stephen Exeros.
That's a great question by Peter. Yes, the incentive needs to be there to pick up those bottles, let's say. So we should have some type of fee or even higher. But really, it's bigger than that. You know, I've seen it as a police officer. People would bring in buckets filled with nips that they would pick up every day as they walk their neighborhood. So it's a littering problem. It's really sad in a way that people do that. But also, don't forget, it's a drunk driving problem. We have people that are addicted to alcohol, and they use these nips. They're very inexpensive. They can be hidden. So when you really think about it, who threw it on the side of the ground? Probably someone that was drinking and shouldn't have been. So drinking and driving, intoxicated driving, it ties in with the nip situation. We need to address it straight on. So whatever way we can to stop the drinking and driving, to stop the ability to, you know, buy 3 nips for a small amount of money, and then think that it's okay to throw it out the window and leave it on the side of the road. There's a lot to it. I support stopping nips, you know, or increasing the price, as Peter had mentioned. We have to address it. It's bigger than the litter problem. It ties in with drunk driving and public safety, and I would do everything I could to address this issue.
I'm going to give you 30 seconds for this next question, Stephen Exeros. A listener wants to know, if elected, would you serve full time?
Oh, that's a great question. Yes, I retired in December after 40 years of policing. I didn't really want to. I love policing. I love helping people. But 40 years is enough. It's great to pass it on. And yes, my goal now is to become a state rep and work full time for the people in our district. That's how I'm paid.
Jim, same question.
You know, I wouldn't say it's full time. I'd say it's a 24/7 job, and I can't wait to do it. It's it's something when you're a labor lawyer, same sort of thing. You have no idea, especially when you represent police and EMTs and paramedics and whatnot. You don't know what time of night you're going to be called or what the issue will be. So, without a doubt, it's what I've done my entire career, just jump in full force, and I look forward to doing it. It's interesting. I've almost been training for this.
We only have 30 seconds for that because we got to get to closing comments, and I want to make sure you have 2 minutes. And Jim Dever, we start with you. Go ahead.
Sure. When I got into this race originally back in August, people would ask me, Jim, what do you feel about Donald Trump? What do you feel about what's going on in D.C.? And I'd say Plymouth-born, Barnstable in Plymouth, we're about ponds and oceans. Keep the swamps in D.C. Well, unfortunately, my opponent in the Republican Party, they're trying to bring the swamps into our ponds and oceans. As I referenced earlier in this debate, it was a Sunday night when myself and four other people in the rain were down in front of Sandwich Public Library, and I was praying for the betterment of race relations between our police and those of color. And to have that used in a divisive way by my opponent in the Republican Party to say I'm a radical and I'm a Marxist and he must be stopped. No, that's the diversity problem. I mean, that's the false choice we've been given down in Washington, D.C., that you have to pick sides and you need to fight. I think it's so much more than that. I think you need to be able to rise above the Facebook noise and make smart decisions. You know, when I ran for school committee, it was because of the shadows of Sandy Hook, the violence that was there, and because I wanted our kids to be safe. In a way, what's going on civically in our country, I find it just as dangerous. And if you endorse division and you endorse trying to have people pick sides, that's not what our kids want to see. I think it needs to be so much better. I look forward to being a voice up in Boston. I'll just close with this. As a labor lawyer, when people walk into my office, there's a campaign picture over my shoulder that says, from 1948, Friends of Labor, Devere Walsh Roosevelt. That Devere was my granduncle Paul Devere, who was governor in 1948 and 50. Being a legislator is in my blood. It's been this time, is now, and I hopefully will have your vote on November 3rd, if not earlier, so we can finally have a voice in the majority for Plymouth, Bourne, Barnstable, and Sandwich. Thank you, everybody, for paying attention this morning. Stay safe, and please wear your masks. We've got to wear them and see what happens when our president does it.
All right. Stephen Xeros, go ahead.
I'm not sure if Jim answered the question whether or not he'll be full-time. We don't really need another attorney in Boston. We need people that will serve full-time like me. But as far as our closing, I want to thank you, Mindy, and everybody at WCAI. I wish I was there in person. It's such a beautiful place. But to me, this has always been a campaign about helping people and making Cape Cod a better place to live, work, visit, and raise a family. I look forward to bringing that message to more and more voters throughout the remainder of this campaign. If elected, I'll be a full-time state representative and will make constituent services a priority. If elected, I will have no other job than to work as a state representative helping the people of this district. For 40 years, I worked as a police officer. I was ready to answer the call whenever someone reached out in need of assistance, morning, noon, or night. No excuses, no distractions, no exceptions. Whenever people need help, I'll be there. I'll also pledge to be fully accountable and accessible to the people of our district. Some people think politicians are their own boss, but that's not true. As far as I'm concerned, I have approximately 30,000 bosses. I'll make their thoughts and concerns my priority. People always will know where I stand and why. I will always be ready to listen to people, even if we respectfully disagree. That's how we learn. That's how we grow. That's how we move forward. Service before self, and we must get this right. We need to get it right for the people in our district. I'm looking forward to January. I'm ready to hit the ground running, roll up my sleeves, and work hard on day one, bringing out the best in our district for all people and showing the rest of the Commonwealth who we really are. That's probably the most important quality we need in a state representative heading into next year, and I'm the right person for the job. I'm ready.
Right.
My name is...
All right. I want to thank you both, Stephen Xeros and James Devere. Thank you for being with us. If you missed any part of this conversation this morning, it's at our website, capeandislands.org. I'm Mindy Todd. Thank you for listening.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker and Dan Tridle. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.